Good evening. So I wrote a word on the board, leavening. And I want us to consider it in light of the season of the year we're at, to hopefully bring out some thoughts around it that will be useful. Do any of y'all know offhand? I didn't, so don't feel bad. Any of y'all know offhand what today was in the Hebrew calendar? Today would have been Nisan 14, the day of Passover. It would have been normally, in ancient traditions, it would have been the day that the Passover lamb was slaughtered so that this evening they could eat the Passover and celebrate coming out of Egypt. And if we were to think all the way back to the children coming out of Egypt, if we were back there, this would be the evening everybody would be clothed, shoes on their feet, all of their stuff packed, the lamb roasted by the fire. And there was another part of that, wasn't it? It wasn't just the lamb, was it? So I want us to start off looking in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, "In this day," now this is after they had received the instructions of what to do with the lamb, how to kill it, how to cook it, how to put the blood on the doorpost. And it says, "In this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread." So we see here there's a part of the Passover that dealt with the leavening. And the reason why I want to mention this, so we're about to celebrate Easter next Sunday, which would be the celebration of the sacrificial lamb, of the Passover lamb of Christ for us, the blood being applied to the doorpost of our hearts. But the leavening was an important part God wanted the people to remember. What about the leavening makes it so important? Well, do y'all remember in Matthew 16... it's at verses 6 through 12. We're not going to turn to it. Where Jesus had told the disciples, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they got to worrying, "Well, we didn't bring any bread." And Jesus is like, what's wrong with y'all? Don't you remember all the times, the 2 times I fed you with bread and you only had, 5 loaves and 5,000 and 7 loaves and 4,000s? And how many baskets of food did you take up? And he went on to tell them, this is not about bread. This is about the doctrines, the thoughts, the teachings of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. That's what I want you to be aware of. And so with that as the backdrop, the leavening. So we look at the leaving Egypt as leaving sin, don't we? So we come to the altar, we get saved, and we are now leaving Egypt. There was a requirement to let go of the leavening. God was very adamant about it. He didn't want it in your houses. Didn't want it in anything you owned. Didn't want you to eat of it. He's saying, when you leave Egypt, put all the leavening away. All those thoughts, all those ideas that you embrace, all the stuff that you had, put it away. It's not to be anymore. Now, how did the Jews get leavening? Did they go down to the grocery store like we do today and you buy the little package of yeast and then you bring it home and you mix it in some warm water to activate it and then put it into bread? They actually had a different way of getting yeast. By their traditions, there were 5 types of grain, 2 types of wheat, and 3 types of barley that you could use to create leaven for your bread. You would take this grain, you would put it in water and soak it for 18 minutes. After 18 minutes, you would see the grain starting to ferment, which meant that the natural yeast, the natural bacteria, had been activated. And so that's how they came about with leavening. The grain was grown in the land. So when God told them, I don't want you to take any leavening with you. I don't want you to take anything that contains leavening. I want you to leave it out. When you pack, you can pack everything but that. In fact, I don't even want it in your houses. I don't want it anywhere that you have. I want the leavening from this land separated from you. So that when you leave, you're leaving without it. It's not there, bubbling, fermenting. Do you know that's what he wants in our lives when we walk away from sin? He wants us to make a very focused effort to leave this behind. In the traditions that they have, you can get rid of the leavening by burning it. So if you were to go in a lot of their traditions, even today, they will start going through their houses 7 days before Passover to start going through and looking for anything that might contain this leavening from these 5 grains. And I've read that in Israel, even today, you can tell when Passover is getting close because normally they run their garbage trucks maybe once or twice a week. The week before Passover, the garbage trucks have to run twice a day. And on the final day before Passover, they say the garbage trucks may run 5 times that day because the amount of stuff people are bringing out of their houses to make sure they don't have any leavening in their house. Because they want to get rid of it. Now, the 5 grains that you put in the water for 18 minutes would ferment and rise. The Jews had another tradition. They said if you took other grains grown in that area, put it in water, it tends to decay and rot. So they wanted to be very careful to make sure they had the right leavening. Now, I want us to turn to Matthew 13:33. Matthew chapter 13:33. Now this is a fairly short parable. This is Jesus speaking. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now this is the entire parable that Jesus spoke there. But what he was trying to bring out, the leavening, the set of doctrines, thoughts, and ideas that we should be trying to have in our life has to come from God. It's supposed to lift our lives, to bring it up before him. Now, I've made bread, and how fast does leaven act in the bread? If you take bread and you mix it all up, you knead it, I don't know how y'all do it, but you put it in a bowl, put a towel over it, get it someplace warm. And what, 5 minutes, you're ready to move forward with the dough? Is it 5 minutes? 6 minutes? Takes a little while for the yeast to get through the lump of bread, right? Have you ever thought that that's why Christ wants us to make sure we have the right leaven, that that's part of the symbolism of putting away the yeast and then going 7 days without leavening to make sure that nothing's growing in there. Because you know, if I took and put yeast back in, how do I know it's the right yeast? But if instead I took all the yeast out of the house, I burnt everything, I got rid of it, now I should have bread with nothing rising in it. 7 days, I've ran clean. Now I can bring in the correct yeast. I can now put it in the dough and I can get to work and I know I have the right leavening. Because guess what? Can you with your eyeballs see the yeast? I've never been, I mean, other than the powder when you take it out of the package. But if you look at the dough, you can't see what's working in that dough. All you can see is the effect of it. Now, I want us to talk a little bit about some of the traditions about how people deal with yeast during the Passover. And I know these aren't our traditions, but I want us to consider them. There is a tradition they have that in addition to burning or throwing away the yeast in your house, if it's something expensive that you really don't want to get rid of, they have a tradition for that. You can go to the rabbi or somebody that to act as your agent, and you can sell that item to a Gentile. And the Gentile will give money, and there will be a bill of sale given you. And then what they do nowadays a lot of times is they'll put that in a cabinet somewhere in their house, and they'll put tape on the cabinet that is like the tamper-proof tape so that if somebody opens the cabinet, it'll show. And then they leave that in their house, but because they sold it, they consider it okay to have. Do you think that's a tradition that fits with what we read in Exodus earlier? Do you think if the Israelites were about to leave Egypt and somebody said, you know what, I've got a lot of stuff made with the leaven of wheat and barley, and I really don't want to lose it, and I just have to give it up for 7 days, I'm going to go sell it to my Egyptian neighbor, and we're only going 7 days down the road. So once we get 7 days out, I'll just come back and give him the money so that I can get it back. And then I'll just take it with me because I plan on getting it back anyway. Do you think the Lord would have been pleased with that? Can I ask us, have we ever maybe did something like that in our lives where there's a doctrine or a teaching? And maybe we say, I don't quite understand it. So I'm going to live one way. And then brother or sister so-and-so comes around and we know they hold this way. So we take the leaven, we put it in the cabinet, we put the seal on the door, and we temporarily sell it out of our lives for the required time they're around. And then when they're gone, we pull the seal off, we pull the leaven back out, and we put it back in our lives. Do we do that sometimes with the doctrines of the Lord and the doctrines of the world, where we don't really truly separate them from our lives? The Jews often would do things with their traditions, the tradition of honoring your father and mother, unless, of course, you had something you dedicated to the temple, then it left you off the hook. We know that Jesus said that was not in my word. My word said you had to do both. Honor your father and mother and pay your vows. But it wasn't an either or. There was another thing that the Jews do with the leaven. So because it takes 18 minutes per their tradition before the leaven activates, I don't know if you've all heard of matzah. It's a unleavened dough. So to make it, basically, they will take the dough, and from the time they add water to the flour, they have to have the dough mixed and completely baked before the 18 minutes transpire. So that's how they make matzah. You mix it together, and from what I understand in my reading, some of the places, the bakeries that make it, they can do a batch of dough every 5 to 8 minutes. They can completely mix, flatten, cut, whatever, put it in an oven, bake it, and in 5 to 8 minutes. But there's a catch. Because after 18 minutes, any of that flour that's been exposed to water will start producing the leaven. So these bakeries have to watch what they're doing. And from the time they first put water on the first batch till the 18-minute mark, they bake. But as soon as that 18-minute mark stops, they completely stop and clean the entire kitchen. So if you consider 5 to 8 minutes a batch, that's 15. If you can do 5, that's 15 minutes for 3 batches. If you do 8, it's 2 batches and 16 minutes. So they'll do 2 to 3 batches, and then they stop and they clean the entire kitchen. Because they don't want any leaven, any of that dough that may have not actually been cooked, to be in the kitchen for 18 minutes and become leaven. Because at that point, they would then be in transgression of what they view as the commandment of God through the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they're serious about that. If one of those bakeries discover that a piece of that dough existed for more than 18 minutes, they have to throw it out, but they also can't sell anything to the public, or at least not to the Jewish people, until enough time has passed to make sure that anything in their bakery that might have been contaminated by that leaven has been able to be sold or gotten rid of. And I've heard that sometimes it could take a month or more for them to get to where they can truly go back into business, just because they missed a little piece of this dough they were working with. Now, the penalty for eating leavened bread was to be cut off. In the Jewish traditions, being cut off meant one of two things generally, and it kind of boiled down to what kind of person you had been. It was the same punishment. You were going to be separated from the people. You'd transgressed a serious crime, so you're going to be separated. But they felt like if you'd been a mainly good person, being cut off meant that you were just going to die early. You were going to die young. That you were going to be separated from the people, and the Lord was going to take you early. Your life on earth was going to end early, but He would recognize your goodness and you would still get to go to heaven. But if you'd been a mainly bad person, they viewed it as your soul would not be allowed to participate in the afterlife. You wouldn't make it to heaven. Now, if I brought you bread today from Egypt and bread today from the land of Israel, could y'all tell the difference? If I didn't tell you? You might be able to tell if it's a certain type of bread that was mainly baked in one land or the other, but if it was just a generic loaf of bread, could any one of y'all really say that, well, that's got to be the Egyptian leaven because I can either smell it or maybe taste it? I don't know about you, but I couldn't. And yet, something that we as humans can't probably distinguish between the leaven that had been in Egypt versus the leaven they would make after they left. But God felt strongly enough about that to say, if you partake of the leaven from back here in Egypt, I'm going to cut you off. That was God that said that. It wasn't some leader of the Jews. God was saying, I'm going to cut you off. And it's been a challenge to me to think about that. How many of us sometimes say, well, I just don't understand. I don't see anything different here. I don't understand the difference. What was wrong with the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Was it a bad fruit? Was it poisonous? Did it taste bad? Was it ugly? I mean, we know from the story of what went down in the garden, they looked at it. It was a good-looking fruit. Looked like it would taste good. Supposed to be beneficial, would make you wise. What was wrong with the fruit? God said, don't eat it. That was it. He'd made everything, looked at everything, looked in the garden, said everything was good. But then he said, even though it's good, I don't want you partaking of that. The Jewish people, I was talking to a man who's works with genomics and, you know, looking at genetic codes. And this person is not, he's an atheist. And he made the comment that in all of his studying of genetics and the genome code, he didn't see anything special about the Jewish people. He didn't understand why they were special. And I had to chuckle. I'm like, they're not. He goes, but God chose them. I said, that's what made them special. It wasn't anything inherent to the Jewish people's genetics that God looked at and said, oh, I need that because they're special. The thing that made them special was God said, I choose you. Because if you read the story, who all was living in the land around there? Where did the Canaanites come from? Aren't they descendants of Noah? Just like Abraham was? So there was really nothing different between the people other than the cultural differences that had built up over time. The lack of belief in people. So what made the Jews special was God said, I'm putting my finger on this people. They're special. When it comes to the teachings and doctrines, the way we look at the world, do you know what God has said? I'm putting my finger on this. I want this to mean something. You may not see it right away. I can tell you from my walk with the Lord, there's been things that I didn't understand. I would say there's things I still don't understand. When I felt like I was being called to the ministry, there were things I was praying about. Lord, this has been preached against, but I don't understand it. And for me, the Lord did reveal to me for that one particular item. His question to me was, would you give it up for me? Now, it was a very personal question to me, and I've mentioned it to people before. That's not something I would put out on anybody else, but God wanted me to say, Lord, I love you enough that if you just touch it and tell me not to, I'm willing to step back from it. I'm willing to step back and say, okay, the Lord has better knowledge than I do. He has an ultimate understanding of how everything comes together. And why would I let something stand between me and the Lord if I really love Him? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5, and look at verses 5 through 7. Actually, start in verse 6 and 7. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now I wanted to bring this verse out because I'd mentioned before, we're in the Easter season. This is the season where we usually celebrate the sacrifices of Christ as the Passover lamb for our lives. The one whose blood allows us to escape the angel of death. He paid the price for us. And here Christ, once again, is in the New Testament, is saying, purge out the old leaven. If you have old ideas, old thoughts, things you're clinging on to, things that maybe you had given up when you first came out of sin, when you left Egypt, but maybe you pulled them back in. Maybe you had them in that cabinet. Purge them out. Get them out. Become an unleavened lump. Why? So that Christ can work in you. So that He can put the leavening in there that will grow us for Him, that will make us grow up, help us to be more what He would have us to be the bread that He would like. It may not seem like much, but I think that sometimes we, in our day-to-day, we don't really look at the full types and shadows of the entire period of when they left the land of Egypt. That they left, yes, after the Passover, but they left with a very specific set of instructions that the Lord said, you need to remember this. You need to teach this to your children so that they understand every year when you give up the leavened bread. They understand it's because we left Egypt. And when we left Egypt, we left its influences, its effects, what it did to us behind. And instead, we went out a pure unleavened lump. Which also means that there's no competing bacteria. When the Lord wants to come in and grow things in your lives, He can grow what He wants in there. And we don't have to worry about, as they mentioned in their tradition, if you use the wrong grain and it's decay and rot, how would you like to have decay and rot in your life instead of growth? Have any of you, I've done this before, made a sandwich and not realized that one of the slices of bread is just about pure green velvet on the backside. And it just happens to be the side you had sitting on the counter. And so you get everything else made and you take a bite. How long does it take for you to realize that something ain't right with the sandwich? I know from my experience it didn't take me long. That bread tastes... something isn't right here. Why? It wasn't risen bread. It was decayed and rotten bread. There was another thing that had gotten that bread that had started growing. And it did not make that a pleasant experience. We need to keep the doctrines, the thoughts, the ideas of the world separate from our lives. The devil wants us today to feel like that it's just leaven. The bread rises the same. There's no difference. You don't need to do that. Isn't that the argument he used in the garden way back then? You know, you don't need to not eat of this tree. Look at it. It's good to eat. It'll make you just as smart as God. Don't you think God wants you to be smart like Him? I don't know about you all, but I would like to think that the Lord does want us to learn like He wants us to learn. So it's an argument that if you're not careful, you can start saying, well, yeah, that's right. So I really don't see why He told me not to eat of this. And we miss something that's been mentioned in a verse. What is obedience is better than sacrifice? Sometimes God says don't, just so we have an opportunity to show that, Lord, I will be obedient because I love You. I would challenge all of us as we go on into the rest of this week and up to Easter to consider what we're about to celebrate. The gift of the Passover Lamb of Christ, but also the request to look at how the leavening impacts our lives. Y'all pray for me.